Actually, this is the people that are here. Now we can vote. Okay, let's learn. It's Sunday, Parshas Nitzavim, the fourth Shir of Elul, the 11th Shir of Perek Dalid, Le'ili Nishmas Chaim Ephraim Reb Nosson. He's talking about people who are wealthy, who are earning more than their needs. So he talked about different aspects of that. I'm on page Kuf Mem Zayin, the sixth line. V'yesh limtzol b'chlal mavakshi hamomon. You will find people who have reached their goal, people who want to be wealthy, who have reached their goal. Mishagil atachlis sipitiyoso mimenu b'derech hasibos shehuskanu. He reached his goal. The person reached their goal either the way we explained, he has a big, he employs a lot of people, he hustles, and he has, and he earns this money. Who may have more, he can have more money than his needs require. Mishigia elav derech hayirusha, b'kadayim alakach, he won the lottery, he got a big yirusha. It came either, he's saying, he might have acquired this wealth either with effort or without effort. So in the yachshov, so what will the person assume? And this is really what we talked about at the end of last week. Ki hasiba zikzalo also. He's repeating an idea, but you know, you can't repeat it enough, as repetitious as it is. We see things as cause and effect, and we don't see Hashem as the cause. That's the human condition. You say, like someone last week said, this politician did kach v'kach, or this person did, robbed the bank, and he got rich. So he got rich because he robbed the bank. So that's what the Chayim Haldovus is addressing right now. He says, that's how the human mind, admittedly, it's very hard, that's how we see things. Ki asiba zikzalo also. You say, how did he become rich? He won the lottery. That's how he became rich. Very few people, the Baal Bitachon will say, Hashem wanted to become him to become rich, and the way he became rich is through winning the lottery. That's the way. But he became rich because Hashem was gozer, he should be rich. And that's the same in effort also. That's what Chavis Alvavis is yisod, that past the level of your basic needs, so you'll say, oh, but look, I hustled, I worked hard, I took a second job, I went into day trading, and I became rich. The Baal Bitachon knows that Hashem was gozer, he should become rich, and this was the methodology used. Just like when if Reuven steals from Shimon, people, this happens all the time. This is what the person was bothered by last week. It happens all the time. People are hurt. People are damaged. People lose money. The Baal Bitachon, it can't be repeated often enough. The Baal Bitachon knows Hashem said this should happen. And the methodology used, the story is the story that Hashem's using. That's the kalim Hashem's using to make it happen. If it wouldn't have happened this way, it would have happened a different way. So the human mind naturally sees cause and effect. The Mola here, and he says, if I wouldn't have won the lottery, I wouldn't have been rich. Lahoyu magia lo mimenu klum. The yodel siba, he'll be thankful for the siba, the lola masabev, but not for the original cause, meaning Hashem. Farehu dome bozeh, he gives a very cute mashal. La'odam b'shimimas hamidbar, a person's in desert. Oyef mitzima, he's parched with thirst. Motzomayim bilti arevim, he found water, it's not kishmaka water, he didn't find an oasis. He found some muddy, maybe salty water. Shenikvu b'shucha, that was gathered together in a ditch. Hu, was he happy? Somach b'hem simcha gedola, v'rova mehem, and he drank his full, and he quenched his thirst. Vuav rachmat, and then he walked a little more. V'nei poga maya noveya, and he sees a beautiful spring, tov v'orev. It's tire, so imagine how he feels that he drank his full from water that's not so good. Al shoshosol lefnei is a mayim harishonim v'rova mehem. So what's the marshal? What's the nimshal? He says the kach baal momon, someone who spends his time in olam hazeh, because he's chasing. He wants to be comfortable. He wants to be wealthy, and he spends his precious time in olam hazeh. That's the not such good water, because he's spending his time, and he becomes wealthy, just like that person quenched his thirst. Asher husag lo b'siba musuyemes. Ilu nimna mimenu osa hasiba. If he wouldn't have spent that time, hayumasigu b'siba acheres, he would have. Right, Chavis Halavas holds if there's a gzardin that a person should be wealthy, Hashem will provide that wealth through his normal workday, through the workday that's providing him with his basic needs that Hashem wants him to do, and that it's a mitzvah to do, and that he's being obeyed Hashem when he does his normal workday, he'll get his bracha through that. And the person that Hashem goes there should have more money than he needs, should be comfortable and have more money than whatever his needs are. So if that person works, chooses his bocher to work a 12-hour day instead of a 10-hour day, so he's like the person that drank his fill and quenched his thirst with the muddy water. And he could have just drank spring water. He would have gone a little further and drank the spring water. So this person could have waited. He's wrong. Chavis Halavas holds he's wrong. He should not have done that. He drank muddied water. He should have kept on doing his 8 hours. Let's just, for argument's sake, call 8 hours the amount you have to do for your basic needs. And the bracha would have been there. So it's like the guy that met up with the fresh water spring when he just drank his fill of muddied water. Ka'omor, the pasuk in Shmuel, we talked about this pasuk. Ki ein l'Hashem matzor l'hoshia b'ravo b'ma'ot. And I always say over the Malbim's very pungent explanation of this pasuk. Right, the pasuk says there's no difference to Hashem l'hoshia b'ravo b'ma'ot. So we think like this: if a person has to pick up 10 pounds, so he exerts a certain amount of koach. If he has to pick up 20 pounds, he has to exert more koach. So if Hashem wants us to win b'rav, so he only has to exert a certain amount of energy. But if he wants us to win b'mat, of course Hashem gets his way. He's Hashem. He has to exert more energy, though. But that's a fallacy. It's terrible to think that way. We do. We all think that way. We don't consciously maybe say Hashem will have to spend more energy. But we think like, oh, that's harder for Hashem to do. Harder. But it's the same thing, right? It's a joke. It's not a comparison. We have to really internalize the idea that Hashem's will is reality, and there's nothing that stands in his way. He's not expending more energy when he makes a nace, or when he makes things happen, and expending more energy. His will is his will, and that's what reality is. So that's this piece of Chavis Halavas, these 15 lines, where he says that, and this is what we talked about last week, by Arichos, and it can't be repeated enough. I just said it last week. I didn't realize then that the next 15 lines would be about that. If there's a tragedy and someone dies, if there's a bomb and 10 people get killed, it's all the same. It's all, certainly, of course, the Baal Bitachon understands that there was a gzeira, right? We're about to say in the Sanat Tokef, right? Mi yichye, mi yamus, mi bekitzel, mi lo bekitzel, mi yosher, mi yoni, right? I think 10 days ago there were a lot of rich people who owned stock in Lehman Brothers, right? So this is the Twin Towers, Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns. That's the Twin Towers of finances in America. They just got crashed. Right? The whole capitalism crashed. The government stepped in today, yesterday, took over. Not took over, but... You know, we read these things, and you know, a person can be rich one day, and there's nothing there the next day. The point he's making here is the point we made last week. We spent time on it. That is, certainly, we have to internalize and believe, and not just believe. We have to think that way. Lechatchila, something happens. It happened because it was a gezeira. The way it happened is not the real cause. The way it happened is the way Hashem brought it about. He would have brought it about in a different way if that way wouldn't have existed. There could be 10 ways it could happen, countless ways it could happen. Whether it's being poor or being rich. And the Chavis HaLodos holds that being rich, having more than your needs is a function of a gzeira, right? It's really a Gemara. Hashem goes there when the lad is born, if it will be an ani or an ashir. Right? The average person, most people, the average person has what they need. By hook or by crook, by struggle, some have it harder. That's life. We're going to learn now how the Baal Bitochon deals with poverty. You know, how does he deal with it? Why isn't Hashem making his life easier? So we'll see. Everyone's life is structured for the tikkun of his or her neshama. We're going to learn that. I don't want to jump ahead. But here he's saying, it's an avoda. It's an avoda to not look at, oh, this politician did this because of this. And we look at it as, or somebody steals from me. Somebody steals from me. So that's why I lost the money. No. That's the way Hashem made me lose the money. And that's what you have to see everything that way. What will happen because of it? You'll be happier. You'll be more calm. You won't keep second-guessing yourself. So if you should have locked the door, in a chanami, that's part of normal hishtadlus. You should have locked the door. But if you say, I should have bought a better lock, no, it's okay. This lock was fine. If you would have bought a better lock, so it would have been like the guy in the muscle with the muddied water. You just would have spent money on a better lock, and the guy would have come in through the window. That's all that would have happened. Or you would have lost money in the stock market. If you would have spent money on a better lock, that's what he's saying. That's his marshal. He says, you're not going to fight Gzeiras Hashem. So what Hashem wants us to do is what's called Hishtadlus. He wants us to do the basic norm. Why he wants us to do, and not that he wants us to do that because that he gave over to people and he's taking a coffee break. Chavis HaLodos explained why he wants people to go through the motions of Hishtadlus. It's not a simple reason why. There's a reason, because the function is the same, that it's Hashem's Gezeira. So there, we are allowed to go through the motions. But here he says it's pointless to go through the motions. It could be the fellow's going to hustle and become rich. He will. But what's happening there is that he's using his bechira, instead of using his extra time for spiritual pursuits, he has chosen to use his extra time for material pursuits. Hashem, right, we're not getting into yediyah and bechira, right? We're not going into that. Hashem, there was a gzeira, he should be rich. He chose to make the methodology to spend more time in the store, to spend more time hustling. That was his choice. That was a bad choice. That's like the guy that drank the muddied water. It was a bad choice, Chavis HaLodos is saying. He would have been rich, he would have had the same money if he would have gone about life normally and spent his life. He chose to make this the method. What else would Hashem have done? Who knows what? He could have gotten a Yerusha, he could have won the lottery, he could have... All of a sudden, people like his store. they like the service he offers, and they start coming to his store rather than the competitor's store because they like his service. This doesn't happen every day where a certain store, you're like, oh, I like that guy. And he therefore earns more money. Yeah.
Slightly off the topic, but let's say you understand, let's say Ghana, who's just a shaliach from the Rabbi Shalom, you were meant to lose this amount of money. But you're still angry at the Ghana for being a shaliach. Even though you know it wasn't him that was Garim and ultimately was the Kaddish Baruch Hu.
Go on, yeah.
Is it wrong still to be upset?
You're angry at him. First of all, if Al-P Shulchan Aruch and Al-P Din, there are avenues of pursuit to get your money back, then you're mechuyev to pursue it. That's because that means if the Torah provided for you to get your money back by taking him to Beis Din, that means that, who said Hashem wanted me to lose the money? Maybe Hashem just wanted me to have the aggravation of temporarily losing the money. Hashem wanted me to spend the time it's going to take me to take him to Beis Din. In other words, when you have your Torah prescribed, I'm not answering your question yet. First, I'm dealing with another issue that people have. You know, why should I take him to Beis Din? Why should I try to get my money back? The answer is, if the Torah prescribes, and under normal hishtadlus, you have a way of getting your money back, then you don't have the right to say Hashem wanted me to lose the money. You don't have a right to say that. Maybe Hashem just wanted you to have the aggravation, right? People get sick nowadays, Baruch Hashem. Who says Hashem wanted them to be sick? Hashem wanted them to spend the money on the antibiotics, right? You don't know. Who says, we don't know what Hashem's plan is, so we should never accept something fatalistically if normal hishtadlus would reverse what's happening. Okay. Hashem wants this to happen. I don't know. How do I know Hashem wants it to happen? You see, he's the one that provided relief. So, okay. Should you be angry at the ganav? You could be angry at the ganav. You're angry at him for making the wrong choice. He had bechira, right? And he chose to harm you, and you can be angry at him. Having said that, you know, you could take a ganav to Beis Din and get your money back. But you know that losika losita applies to a ganav also. It doesn't just apply to the story where you ask someone to lend you money. Right, you see the ganav, you say, "Ooh, look what he did to me! I'm going to get him back. I'm going to do this to him." Bingo, nekama, mamish nekama. There's natira also. I don't know, angry. I'm not sure that you're not supposed to bear a grudge against him. You're not supposed to bear a grudge against him. If we're past the avenue of relief, right? We're not holding by. Ideally, the tzaddik will take him to Beis Din and not even bear a grudge, right? But let's assume that that emotion of anger will carry you forth to go to Beis Din and seek your relief. You know, that's the human condition. And we're not holding by the madrega where, you know, I'm okay with the guy, but I'm still going to take him to Beis Din to get my money back. But let's say we're past that. Either you can't take him to Beis Din with no witnesses, right? The money's gone. Or you don't want to bother. You don't want to bother. Or you can't. You're not going to get justice. You don't have two Adam. You don't have two witnesses that saw him steal. You know there's no relief bidei Adam in Beis Din. You know there's no relief. Nowadays, you can find relief in other ways. Any other way of getting your money back if it's within the, you know. Within the guidelines of hishtadlus, if there's a way to get your money back, certainly go get your money back. Okay, we're beyond that now. You're not getting your money back. Yeah, I don't understand. I understand your question, but to be honest with you, I don't see a heter to bear a grudge. Now, the chinuch says that the way to that like tikkun b'losita is murder. How? Like what? What? Like, and he gives the chazal, this is the answer. He says, when something is finalized and it happened, the way to deal with it emotionally, psychologically, the way the Torah wants you to deal with it, once we're past the stage of getting redress, is to look at it in the Chavis Halvavis' eyes. This was supposed to happen to me. If it wouldn't have been him, it would have been someone else. That's how you could, if you want to say, is the Torah asking me to be superhuman by not, I don't know, angry, by not being angry at him, by not bearing a grudge against him, by not wanting to get him back. I want to lash back at the guy. That's so normal. Everybody does. I mean, I do too. Of course, like, what? Like, what? I'm supposed to just accept it? No one's telling me to be his friend. And, you know, within the guidelines of Hilchos Lashon Hara, you could warn people against him. Forget about, we were talking, look at the Chafetz Chaim, just great good old Shmiras HaLashon, we all know and love the Chafetz Chaim Shmiras HaLashon. Someone steals from me. You know, to tell people. Unless you have a direct link that telling someone will help you get your money back, I'll be din. It's my good old Chafetz Chaim. We're not talking about philosophy. Chafetz Chaim, it's Lashon Hara. You can't tell anybody. A guy stole from you. You can't tell anybody he was mazik you. You can't. You're not allowed to. It's not going to do any purpose. It's just going to. It doesn't serve any purpose. There's no purpose in it. Now, the chinuch is the key here. The chinuch wants us to use, I'm mixing generations here, but you know what I mean. The chinuch wants us to use the chavis halvavos as a way of reaching that madrega. You say, but it's superhuman, it's impossible. But if you learn shara bitachon, it's not superhuman anymore. If you can internalize that this was going to happen anyway, and you know, he chose, and he's going to get punished from Hashem. Don't worry. If that'll bring a smile to your lips, all right, I cannot tie this to you. It's not supposed to either, but, what do you want, But the way, so that can bring a smile to you. But that's how you're supposed to think, Hashem will take, what did David say? But Shibi Ben Gera, look, Hashem will take care of him. This is obviously happening from Hashem. It's so crazy. It's so crazy that this happened. That obviously, it's Hashem. I see it's Hashem. Like, the crazier something is, the easier it is. It's always Hashem. But the crazier something is, like, I went out of my house and punked then. I left the door open. I just ran outside for a second. And then someone, opened the door and took the pocketbook, And So the crazier it is, the easier it is to go into Chovas Halvavos mode and say, this was the din that was supposed to happen. Not being angry at him and not bearing a grudge is really a very high level. And that shouldn't be the first step. That should come later. Let's first get used to the idea of just not getting depressed and not banging our heads against the wall and not saying, I should have locked the door. Again, okay, bad example, locking the door. Like, I should have done this and I should have done that, and why didn't I lost my money and I should have sold the stock earlier. Right, we drive ourselves crazy. People get ulcers from this. People drive themselves nuts, what they should have done, what they could have done. Forget about being angry at the Ghana. That's really like at the end of a long road of self avoda. The first step should be to really to relax, to cope, to not be depressed, to not be aggravated, because this is not the reason what I'm about to say. You're aggravated, your kids are going to suffer from it for the next 2 weeks, your spouse is going to suffer from it for the next 2 weeks. Like, you're angry, you're aggravated, you're annoyed, you're like not yourself. Let's work on that first. It's a gzera from Hashem. You can cope with it. At the end of the long road is the chinuch that says you really, really internalize that. You're not even going to be angry at the guy. You're angry. You you know, he made a bad bechira and he directed his bad bechira against you. So I don't know what you're supposed to feel to him. You're not supposed to bear a grudge. I don't know, angry at him. I'm not sure. Like I'm thinking, like maybe you could be angry at him. Like angry. I don't know. I'm not sure what angry at him means. You're not supposed to bear a grudge. You're not supposed to walk around with a tine on him. Once it's established, you can't do anything about it. Okay, forget it. So, but that's the end of the road. The beginning of the road really is a person's personal serenity, and right, not aggravation, not tension, not depression. People go crazy. People lose their money. People get a geneva. People have a hezek. They're always mensch. So that's really the first level. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was mentioning the Rav said that, you know, he had bechira, Lugan had bechira, and he, you know, he chose to do this Hashem Zer Pashem, but if he's Hashem Shalich, then what kind of bechira do you really have, and why should he be punished?
That's...
But he, Hashem sent him to be Shalich.
Hashem doesn't send anyone to do... No, Hashem doesn't send. This is... We really can't deal with Yediyah and bechira. We just have to accept it on faith. I mean, the Rambam says, like, this is an unanswerable question. Hashem maneuvers the entire world, the entire history, that what's supposed to happen will happen, and people make choices and bring about what will happen, and they have the ability to choose not to be the instruments of Hashem's will, and then it'll happen in some other way. Hashem is not Oved Eitzus. Hashem has Harbe Shluchim Lamokom, the Gemara says.
But it almost sounds like Hashem is dependent on us.
But he's not, because there are 27 million other ways it could have happened.
I wasn't listening.
There are 27 million other ways it could have happened.
So it's not the Gan of
money. It's not the Gan of... I lost money. It's not the Gan of... Someone would have smashed into my car and I would have had to pay for a mechanic. There's so many felt ways to lose money. Right.
I was listening to a shiur by Rabbi Kivatetz. He was talking about murder. He said the person is guilty of the murder but not guilty of the death.
Okay, as long as he means what we mean, that's fine.
I mean, what he was saying, the person's guilty of the theft, but not guilty of you losing your money.
There was a gzeir in Shemayim, how long the person's going to live for. Mi bekitzo, mi lo bekitzo refers to people who are murdered as well. Mm. Except there are different ways to die. Like I said, if the World Trade Center wouldn't have happened, so, you know, they all would have died at that moment, but they would have had different lives, and they would have, who knows what they would have, you know. We see things in a very... very, very limited human way. We see everything we see, we think is inevitable, right? We think this is what happened, and we can't imagine it happening differently. But if we see everything as Hashem's playing checkers or chess, Hashem's moving the pieces. So he could have moved them that way, he could have moved them that way, you know, it's all.
Just want to ask, getting back to that, angry at someone and you move along, do you actually have to get to the point where you're able to address that person? Or
what do you mean able to address it? Be their friend?
I don't have an answer.
Maybe ideally. I don't have an answer. No, why should you have to be their friend? If you would have phrased it differently, I would have said ideally. Do you have to be fulfilled via Haftalariacha Kamocha? Yeah.
What
about Kabeh? That doesn't mean you have to be their friend. Kabeh means don't invite him to your house and close your eyes. That's what it means. It means don't invite him for lunch and leave your jewelry, you know, when you go to wash, leave your ring on the table. What? Kabeh b'chashdeu means invite him for the suda.
Do you have to?
No.
Do you have to go out of your way to, like, have interaction with these people if you can't stand that?
No. Because that's not a chiyuv. That's not a chiyuv. But Chafetz Chaim would say, you know, you know, it sounds funny. Let's say he was down on his luck and he didn't have a place to eat, and he needed a meal, and he was hungry, and he fell into your lap, so to speak. Yeah, that's nekama. It's mamish nekama.
Yes,
you know.
Going back to what you said,
I don't know. You see, anger.
No, I don't mean that.
I don't know. The word anger, I can understand that you're angry at the person. I'm not sure you're not allowed to be angry at the person. But you're not, I don't know. Bear a grudge means you're not allowed to hold it against him. You're not supposed to walk around
with. That you will not, you can't go. If you know he's a gunman. And somebody wants to use this person in his house.
You have
mechuyev. That's what I'm saying. After that conflict,
you're not supposed to tell. The rabbi, I've said 10 times. Of course, you should tell anything within the, you know, anything within the guidelines of hilchos lashon hara. You should tell people. You're not mechuyev to interact with him. He's a ganav. We're talking now the emotion that you have towards him, and in actions you're supposed to pursue him to get your money back. Supposed to even talk to other people. Maybe they can get them to give you your money back. Maybe it's hard to imagine who we're talking about. Maybe it's supposed to be done on the kaf schus. If it's a one-time thing, maybe it's supposed to be done on the kaf schus that he was starving and he wasn't only b'nisayon. And you know, al tadin es chavecha shadigil v'mekomo. Maybe what? Look, a chronic ganav. What is your question? We're going away from the point. The point is, a chronic ganav who steals from a lot of people. Our avodah, as we're learning Shara Bitochon, is to realize that every person that lost money, there was a gzeirah they should lose that money. The reason they lost the money is not because this person stole from them. That's just the way it happened, right? Look at it. You know, when the ganav is, when it's 3 a.m. and there's a ganav eyeing a row of parked cars, right? So if there's a gzar din, it should be you who's going to steal your car. And he doesn't take much for Hashem to make him like skip over that car and go to the next car. Of course, if you have like, the club, you know, that's a different story.
But is it Hashem that is guiding his decision?
His decision, not his decision to steal or not, but his decision which car to steal. Because you're supposed to suffer that loss.
It seems easier to accept when it's, let's say, a tree falling during a storm, and the tree falls on your car, right, and not on the car that was left.
And Chavis Havavos wants you to do it to a person also. You want to know who did it? David HaMelech with Shimin Ben Gera. The Chinuch by Lesikim Bavol Sitar. These are the sources that say, I mean, Chavis Havavos and Shahar Bitachon. Someone does something to you, that's how you cope with it. But yeah, that's how you cope with it. Yeah. Because it's all the same principle. The principle is that there's only one prime cause of everything in the world that happens. It's harder to visualize and internalize that when we're dealing with Bechira. But to be honest with you, I don't think our problem in this room tonight is Bechira. I'm sorry to say. I think it's we see the people as doing it. We don't see Hashem as doing it. People are doing it, not because of Bechira. It's because, you know, a tree falling, so I could, you know, okay, I could tell my kid, you know, I believe in Hashem, so the tree fell. When a person...
He doesn't have a mind.
I want to make you realize, not you, I don't think we're troubled so much by the philosophical Bechira question as by the fact that to our human minds, no, it's to an atheist, so the tree falling is also like, oh, Hashem, the tree fell. So we are from the Hashem, and we know it is a Hashem, so we're able to deal, so we look at the tree and we say, oh, Hashem made the tree fall, because that's what we tell our kids, and you know, we're used to that already. And the angst and the anger and the aggravation, you know, we find it easier to cope with. Bashet. when a person does it, I'm suggesting, it's not the philosophical Bechira question that makes it harder. It's that we have a harder time seeing Hashem as the cause, because our seichel and our like the reality we've been trained that the reality of the tree falling is Hashem, but the reality of a person hurting us, we see the person as being the cause. Bechira is already philosophy, you know. It's like my seichel tells me, it's like if I tell someone this guy bought this stock and became rich, and I say, if he wouldn't have bought the stock, he also would have become rich. And he goes, are you out of your mind? Like, how can you deny the Metzius? He bought the stock and he became rich. And we're learning Kovitz whole levels. This was the way.
Cause and effect.
There's only one cause in the world. There's only one cause. Hashem is the cause of everything that happens. This is what we have to internalize, that Hashem is the only cause of everything that happens. As much as the mamash, it's a beautiful marshal. Just like when the tree falls on the car, we feel a certain way about it. So when a person does something to us, we should feel the exact same way. Because it's all true. Think about it. Well, that wasn't Hashem? As I told, you know, Mrs. Zabrowski, I think it was last week, I said, it's easier to do when you think about the negative. Are you ready to stand up and say, this happened even though Hashem didn't want it to happen? You're not going to say that, right? So you say, well, okay, it happened because Hashem was like napping. He didn't really care one way or the other. Right? So we're not going to say that either. So just logically, there's only one other conclusion. Hashem did want it to happen. And that's why everything happens. Everything happens because it's Hashem's will. It sounds easy. It's what we tell our kids. And it's really hard because the olam is from the word ne'elam. And Hashem is behester. And we don't see Hashem. And we see a guy hustling and making money. And we see a guy hurting someone else. Right? And we see... And yeah, that's why it happened, obviously. No. Everything is an expression of Hashem's will. That's the primary, you know, that's what Hashem Echad is. I want to tell you, when you say Yichud Hashem, and you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Hashem Echad doesn't just mean Hashem is one, or Hashem is unique. It means that everything in the world is really is Hashem. It's Hashem's will. Everything. That's part of Echad. That there is nothing, and that's part of Ein Od Milvado. Ein Od also means nothing happens. Ein Od is nothing else. It's heavy. It is heavy. Nothing exists outside of Hashem's will. When we aim Lashem Matzor Loshia Barabu Bimot. Now everything negates that. First of all, you know, it would be easier if we had a Beis HaMikdash and we saw Nisim Galuyim and we had a Navi that came to us and said Hashem spoke, you know, then we would internalize more that there really is a Hashem out there. And you know, our senses don't see it. And then you start to appreciate Avraham Avinu now. Avraham Avinu was one person in the world, and he sat and thought and thought and thought and philosophized, the Rambam says. He was the major philosopher. And he was just totally convinced that there's a power out there, what we call Hashem, that there's an Eivishah out there who's running everything. You appreciate Avraham now. He was coming from nowhere. He was coming from a world of Avodah Zarah. This is Avodah Zarah. You understand what I mean, right? It's Avodah Zarah to say that there are causes for things outside of Hashem. And Avraham Avinu lived in a world with a lot of gods, you know, so that means they granted, this is like, this is, we're also guilty of this, not guilt, you know. Yeah, Hashem created the world. That's easy. And then you put them on a pedestal, and then they had a god that did this, and a god that did that, and that's what they dealt with on a daily basis. That was their cause. You know, and then Avraham Avinu came along and said, oh, yeah, that's what we have to do. That's why, you know, my wife says to me, you know, she says, you know, Shabbatochan, you know, after 3-4 weeks, you're just repeating yourself over and over and over. Like you're saying the same things over and over. Okay, maybe. And we try, you know, there's different angles and different aspects, but you can't say it enough because everything dictates against it. Everything we experience throughout our day really is lemare einenu mitnageh to this. Every move we make, someone calls me up and he wants me to do something because this guy is going to do this. Like everything, you know. And every time we go, everything we do is pulls us away from Hashem. I thought you know, in the Midbar, you can appreciate when the Jews were in the Midbar, they didn't have these problems, right? They just woke up in the morning and the mon was there, right? And that was their parnasa, and they said, oh, parnasa's from Hashem. So they had 40 years of mon, and that's what they internalized. The Parshas Hamon is a parasha about parnasa. And Parshas Hamon is a unique situation where Bnei Yisrael had 40 years to internalize all of these lessons. Hashem Mech Parnasa, Lohedith Hamarbeh, Hamamit Lohechsir. Right? You're going to get whatever you're going to get. That's the mon. If you want to capture everything the Chayyim HaLovis is saying about Parnasa, and he 98% of the time he talks about money and Parnasa, you want to capture it all, you say Parshas Hamon every day. As I always tell, I suggest it to everyone I meet. Say Parshas Hamon every day with a translation. Don't say it like, and then think what it means. And these are all the lessons of Parshas Hamon. The beauty is Shabbos. It's such a tremendous idea. Okay, we're running out of time. So, before Shabbos is mentioned in the Torah as, well, I'm not counting Parshas Bereishis now, but before the Aseret HaDibros, which talks about Shabbos as a way of remembering that Hashem created the world, and before Parshas Beschanan, which talks about Shabbos as Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, you have Parshas Beshalach, before Yisro, you have the Shabbos as Bitochon. You have Shabbos as Hashem will send you Parnasa. Now, you know, we have a 5-day work week, and, you know, nobody's working on Shabbos in the Western world, so, like, it's easy. But Shabbos was major. 100 years ago, Shabbos was major, major, major issue. And Parshas Hamon says the first, like, before Shabbos is Zeichel Amaisa Gracious, and before it's Zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim, Shabbos is there in the Parshas Hamon. It's a central idea of Parshas Hamon, Bitachon. Hashem will give you the parnasa you need. Don't worry, you'll get it. And we say it. We're going to say it in Unasan Etokef. Mi Yechiel, Mi Yamulos, Mi Bekitzu, Mi Lo Bekitzu. Mi Yashir, Mi Toreif, Mi Yisholeif, Mi Yisyasar. Who's going to have aggravation? It's all the gzera. It's a gzera. Okay, we'll stop here. We're not going to.